From NPR News in Washington, I'm Pam Coulter. Music and dancing are part of the warm welcome President and Mrs. Obama received as they arrived in India today, first stop on a long Asia trip. In the commercial center of Mumbai, President Obama called for greater cooperation between the two countries and said increased trade would be a win-win for both the U.S. and India. The First Lady met with underprivileged children at the University of Mumbai. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports President Obama also visited a memorial for the victims of the terrorist attacks that struck Mumbai 2 years ago.
The president and his entourage are staying at the Taj Mahal Hotel, one of the primary targets of the attackers who killed 166 people.
And ever since those horrific days 2 years ago, the Taj has been the symbol of the strength and the resilience of the Indian people.
Mr. Obama said the visit was intended to make the point that the United States and India are united against terrorism. Later in the day, the president spoke to business leaders and announced new trade deals between the U.S. and India. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Mumbai.
Indonesian officials say at least 130 people have died in the 2 weeks since the Merapi volcano began erupting. Yesterday's blast of ash and gases was described as the volcano's most powerful eruption in a century. And it has caused airlines to cancel flights across Southeast Asia. In Bangkok, Julia Simon reports passengers are struggling to get to Java.
Multiple international airlines canceled flights to Jakarta because of worries of volcanic ash damaging airplanes. In Bangkok, Singapore, and Tokyo, passengers are stranded trying to get to Indonesia. Closer to the Merapi volcano, hundreds of thousands have now been displaced by the volcanic ash and hot gas. In the nearby city of Yogyakarta, many frightened residents are leaving the city to look for safety in other parts of Java and in Bali. President Obama is still scheduled to arrive in Jakarta on Tuesday. For NPR News, I'm Julia Simon in Bangkok.
Aid groups helping earthquake victims in Haiti are facing a new challenge now that Hurricane Tomas flooded seaside towns and inundated some refugee camps in Haiti. The Red Cross's Andrea Koppel says the capital of Port-au-Prince fared better than expected.
They are most concerned about the area to the north and northwest, especially in Gonaive, which apparently is not reachable now by roads.
Six people were killed in Haiti and two are reported missing. Tomas is now a tropical storm headed toward the open Atlantic. From Washington, this is NPR. A New Haven, Connecticut jury went home after considering today whether the man convicted in a deadly home invasion should get the death penalty. Today they asked to rehear testimony from a psychiatrist who said Stephen Hayes flew into a rage during the crime. Hayes was convicted of killing Jennifer Hawk Pettit and her two daughters in 2007. The first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church is retiring, but NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports Gene Robinson plans to stay on until the next bishop is elected 2 years from now.
Robinson told fellow Episcopalians at the diocese's convention that to everything there is a season. He said he loved being their bishop for the past 7 years, but those years have taken their toll. He said that he's received death threats, and the controversy has been, quote, a constant strain, not just on himself, but on his husband, Mark. He said his health is great, he's been sober for 5 years, and he plans to spend the next 2 years with, as he put it, all burners on. Robinson's election in 2003 caused an uproar among some in the Episcopal Church. Conservatives said that elevating an openly gay man to bishop defied the Bible and the passages that condemn homosexuality. Many of those churches have left the Episcopal Church and are now affiliated with conservative provinces in Africa. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
A New York congressional seat's up in the air 4 days after the election. It appeared to end in victory for four-term Democrat Tim Bishop, but Suffolk County election officials discovered the unofficial tally was off by 4,000 votes. Now, Republican Randy Altschuler is ahead by less than 400 votes. Pam Coulter, NPR News in Washington.
Support for